Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. You're welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus podcast. And I trust that your heart is going to be enriched this morning by the preaching of the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for his word. So yesterday, I began to show us the importance of leadership in the body of Christ. I began to show us how that the instructions given to us in the epistles as regards how we ought to live our lives as believers must not be disconnected from the responsibility of leadership. Amen. The responsibility of leadership. And there was something that showed us some time ago from the scriptures, how that most of the instructions, if not all, the instructions given to us about feeding on God's word are instructions given to us in the context of receiving training. Praise God. We like to quote 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk. From who? Praise God. It's in the same book Peter writes at chapter 5, how that, you know, men ought to submit to the elders. And the elders are meant to feed the flock. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. There are folks in charge of the flock. So when he says to receive the sincere milk of the word, he was not talking about men studying, you know, scriptures, trying to figure out God's word by themselves. They were being taught. Hallelujah. They were being taught. Praise God. Also, Paul says at Acts of Apostles chapter 20 verse 32, so then I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith. Now, originally, that was a statement made to the elders at Ephesus. Praise God. Let's see it. That was a statement made to the elders at Ephesus. And then it was made to them because of the responsibility that Paul had put upon them. They had the task, they had been given the task and the responsibility to shepherd the church of God. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles 20, 32, very powerful, amazing truth. Acts of Apostles 20, 32, glory to God. In fact, from verse 17, Bible says, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. So it was these elders of the church that Paul was talking to at Acts 20. He gets to verse 27. He says, I have not shown to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take it to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So see the instruction and the charge he was giving to the elders. Shepherd the church of God. Amen. I haven't shown to declare to you the whole counsel of God. That is, you have been trained and equipped. You have the capacity to shepherd the church of God because I have given to you the whole counsel of God. You know what to say. You know what to teach. Amen. Praise God. In the early church, they were not appointing people to leader, you know, positions of leadership. People were not well trained. They were not appointing people to positions of leadership carelessly. They were not appointing people to positions of leadership and then they were expecting them to try and figure out what to preach. Amen. It's a reckless approach to ordaining ministers today. Now, I said in the last teaching that leadership is the most important element in a local church. Leadership. The church will go in the direction that the leader, you know, points to. Glory to God. The church will not rise above the influence and the passion and the influence and the commitment and the zeal of the leader. Glory to God. That's why it's such a reckless approach to choose men who are not grounded in the truth as leaders of the church. Amen. It's reckless. Paul says, I have not shown to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take it to yourselves and to all the flock. These guys had been given what it takes to lead the church. They had been well taught. They had been well taught. Paul says, I've given you the whole counsel of God. All that you need to teach and to preach. All you need to effectively equip the saints for the work of ministry, to bring them to maturity, I've delivered it to you. Praise God. That is the reason why they were saddled with the responsibility of doing the same. So they were going to do for others that which had been done for them. The same thing Paul did to them and did for them was what he was now commissioning them to do for the church in their care. Hallelujah. Shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Look at verse 29. Leadership. See the importance of leadership. Verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. There will never be a time in the body of Christ where leadership is going to be overruled and men will have to just do their own stuff. No. If men do not respond to sound spiritual leadership, they're going to respond to false leaders. Men will rise up from you and draw disciples after themselves. Glory to God. There will never be a time when there will not be leadership in the body of Christ. But we'll always have either sound leadership or bad leadership. Genuine leadership, godly leadership, or false leadership. Men drawing men after themselves. Glory to God. You know, because leadership in the body of Christ is not you drawing disciples after yourself. It is pointing men to Christ. That is leadership. Pointing men to Christ. Showing men the truth of the word of God. Pointing men to their source. Hallelujah. And modeling that life of following Jesus as a leader. It says, but savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. They will draw disciples after themselves. Glory to Jesus. While leadership is meant to set the pace and is meant to teach, and leadership is meant to instill the standard, the right values, and is meant to set the tone for the direction the church will move in, and is meant to set the tone for, you know, the kind of lifestyle that is expected of the saints, it is not that the man now takes the place of Jesus at all. Not that people cannot see beyond you. Leadership is you pointing them beyond you. You are showing them Christ. Paul says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, bond servants for Jesus' sake. That's leadership. Amen. So see the importance of leadership. If we don't arise and lead men as they ought to be led, if there are no sound leaders in the body of Christ, there will be false leaders. There will never be a vacuum. Amen. There will never be a point in time in the history of the church where there will be no need for leaders. If men are not led by sound leaders, they will be led by people who have false and impure motives and intents. Glory to God. So, it gets to verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God, the elders. Hallelujah. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Mind you, this word of his grace is what he had handed to them. I have not shown to declare to you the whole counsel of God. So the word of his grace is not something you try to figure out yourself. It is delivered unto you. Hallelujah. It is delivered unto you. That's leadership. Praise God. So I commend you. The churches, the leaders of the churches at Ephesus, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Glory to God. Leadership is so important. God will always use leadership. If you read through the Bible, something is clear from God's dealings with man or with men all through the scriptures. In the history of God's dealings with men, you discover that God is pro-leadership. Amen. God is pro-leadership. God never, you know, deals with people without raising a leader. Praise God. If God is reaching out to a man, he's raising him as a leader. Glory to God. God raised Noah for the safety and the rescue of his family. You see that? God raised Abraham, One of the things God said concerning Abraham is he's going to instruct his children to walk in my statutes and judgments. He raised Abraham to teach and instruct his family, and by extension, his descendants. Glory to God. And then God raised Moses. It's instructive that the children of Israel could not come out of bondage until God sent a man to them, a leader. Praise God. Until God sent a leader, God sent Moses to go and deliver them from captivity. Hallelujah. Leadership is seen in everywhere, in the system, in the world, in God's church. You will find leadership as something that is so key to driving vision, to making men stay committed to a particular mission, to a particular cause. Leadership is seen everywhere in the system. Find it in family. Glory to God. You find leadership in family. You find leadership at workplaces. You find this leadership in governance. You find leadership in the church. God is pro-leadership. Because this is exactly how God gets his work done on the face of the earth. This is how God drives his plan and purposes. This is how God advances his cause on the face of the earth. Leadership. It's so key. So in choosing a sound local church, you must be first particular about the leadership. Most times these days, people are not looking at the leadership. They're just looking at every other thing. The paparazzi, the atmosphere. Amen. The conducive environment. You enter into a place and AC is messing you up. The air conditioners, they are messing your mind, messing up with your mind. Wow! God is in this place. Hallelujah. You get into a place, you see the sound. You hear the sound, rather. The sound of the keyboard. Hey! The speakers. You see speakers. You see the way everything is just, wow, you are messed up. You see a big screen, flat screen. Before the pastor comes on the stage, you just see the man showing on the flat screen. Hey! Jesus is here. Hallelujah. Men are not considering the quality of leadership, the soundness of the leadership. They are considering the ephemeral things of this life. Hallelujah. The chandelier, the lighting. Wow. God help you. Your church even has the money to air on TV. And then one day while watching TV, you just see yourself on TV. Wow, Jesus. Come and see. Come and quickly call your relatives. Come and see. Come and see. See me. Ah, see me doing service. Wow. Yeah, you know, people are wowed by many things in the church. We're not considering the soundness of the leadership. Hallelujah. I've heard people say, what thrills me about that church is the fact that, see, they are very, 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 very transparent. Transparent with what? Without the spent money. Yeah, wow, that's great. Okay, what else? You see, even if that's the only thing, I mean, they've won me. They've won my heart. Wow, they're so transparent. It's funny. That transparency you are applauding, that is wowing you and you're shouting about, is what is found in some very sane nations. The government is so transparent. The local government chairman or whatever is so transparent. It's what you find in some schools. It's what you find in some workplaces. Do you understand how money is spent? It's a normal thing. That is not what we are to be looking out for in spiritual leadership. How did Jesus spend the money in the ministry? We don't know till date. Amen. There's no account given in scriptures on how Jesus spent the money that he received from people. As a matter of fact, the man that was handling the purse was a thief. He was taking regularly from the purse. He was helping himself. So there's no record of, you know, Jesus being transparent with how they were spending money. That's not the stuff that thrilled them in the ministry of Jesus. Amen. I'm not against people being transparent and accountable. We do that in my local church too. But I'm saying that shouldn't be the reason why we are thrilled and we are blind to salient, you know, aspects of leadership. Aspects of leadership that should be the reason why we are in a local church. Glory to God. I love this church so much. Why do you love this church? They always keep to time. Wow. Wow. That's great. And you know, of course, it's commendable. They're always keeping to time. But you know, I've discovered that most times, People who always applaud pastors and churches and preachers for keeping to time will not have done well in the early church. Praise God. Paul called an impromptu meeting and they all showed up and he taught into midnight. And when he was done teaching at midnight, somebody fell down, died. He went to pray for him. He said his life is in him. He came back, broke bread and began to teach. He continued his teaching until daytime. Do you think they planned that meeting? I don't think so. There's no record that he had informed them. You know, the way things were in those days. There's no record that he had told them we're going to spend all night. It just came. Hallelujah. Many of the times Jesus sent his disciples out on ministry assignments, do you think he gave them a timing? Glory to God. Many of us would not have done well in the early church with this stuff of, you know, in that church, they always keep to time. Hallelujah. 1 hour service, 1 hour. Your pastor is never led beyond the time, the planning. Praise God. As we're about to close, somebody wants to give a word. They say, no, we keep to time in this church. Glory to God. I'm not against timekeeping and all that, being accurate timekeepers and all of that. But what I'm saying is that should not be what is thrilling about a church, for God's sake. You enter a church meeting, you hear God's word, you pray, you sing spiritual songs, you sing to a point where even you don't want to keep to time. If it has not happened to you before, you have not gone to the right place. Even you not want to keep to time. You say, Pastor, let's just continue. Let's continue. Let's just stay here. Praise God. There should be other reasons why we are committed and we approve of a particular local church apart from all these, you know, ephemeral things. Praise God. Many times we have kept the time in my local church. At other times, you know, we just cannot. Amen. I mean, and you are free to leave. You are free to go. Nobody's going to police you. So if that's what you are looking out for, you may not be impressed joining a local church like mine. Amen. You may not be impressed. What are the most important things to look out for? The things stated in the Bible. The essence of leadership. Hallelujah. Soundness in doctrine. Purity of doctrine. Hallelujah. Yes. Effective training for ministry. Glory to God. Listen, before I go on. Many times, people who say, in that church, don't keep to time, I'll never go there again. They do overtime at parties. Many of such folks do overtime. They go and visit somebody, go and greet a relative or a friend, and then they chat into the night. They forget the time. They come back late. It's only in the church we are all accurate timekeepers. Glory to God. It's reflective of something deeper. There's a much deeper problem. The way we esteem church today. Hallelujah. Many folks who keep to time in church and will get angry when the pastor does not keep to time. They do overtime elsewhere. Glory to God. Overtime. You want to go and see a movie. That's your plan. And then you eventually end up seeing 2 or 3. Amen. Overtime. I want to go and visit this person. By 5 p.m. I'll be back. And you're not back until 8 p.m. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yet these are the hypocrites that will come to church and say, what I'm looking out for here is do they keep to time? When they say 8 to 2, is it 8 to 2? When they say 8 to 9, is it 8 to 9? I don't want to hear stories. Hypocrisy. Let's think about the weightier matters. The essence of the church. The things stated in the Bible. Why should we choose and follow a particular leader? What are the things said in scriptures? It's manner of life. It's doctrine. Amen. Training for the work of ministry. A leader that continually calls your mind to the right things. Continually sets your mind on the things found in scriptures. On the things that pertain to Christ. Glory to God. We leave all that and we're judging leadership in a very shallow and myopic way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So like I said, there are many times we keep to time. There are many times we are going to keep to time. It's not, that one is the least of our challenges. Amen. It is the least of our challenges. How to keep to time is the least. Many churches are keeping to time. Churches that are keeping to time do not necessarily pass for sound churches. Glory to God. So don't let that be a bait. In this church, they are accountable. They are transparent. They show us how they spend the money. What did they spend the money for? Amen. We renovated 2 schools. We have gone to build a borehole for them at Kinikon. We have gone to, sir. Is there no outreach in this budget, in this spending? Is this what Jesus died for? To be renovating gutters and renovating schools and building chairs for public schools owned by government. Is that why we give our money to the work of, to the gospel? Is that why? Hallelujah. Is that why I give offerings in church? So why am I paying tax if we are to use offering in church to fix what the government is meant to fix in the society? And those are the kind of things that three people, they are transparent with how they spend money. What are they spending the money for? That's more important than your transparency. Praise God. So leadership is key. And the moment we miss leadership, the moment leadership is not right, nothing is going to be right in the system. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm laying all that as a background because we're going to start walking through scriptures to see the importance of leadership, how God has dealt with man through all history, how God has dealt with man, with men, based on leadership, true leadership. Showed you God raised Noah for his family. God raised Abraham, his family, his descendants. God raised Moses. The children of Israel could not come out of the land of Egypt, which is the land of bondage, without the input and the ministry of Moses. Praise God. They came out of the land of Egypt. Exodus chapter 15, look at this. Guess what? They were so excited. They were rejoicing. Wow! He has done great things. In fact, they composed the song. Hallelujah. Follow carefully. Hallelujah. Follow carefully. Let me quickly say this. Don't forget that I said that leadership in the local church is the most important element. Don't also forget that I've said that the local church is a place for order, accountability, and discipline. Amen. So that means what the leader is meant to ensure is this order and accountability and discipline. That's why you have a leader in the local church. Order, accountability, discipline in the area of, doctrine, in the area of, commitment to ministry, prayer, our living, our relationships with men, our conduct. The leader is meant to ensure order, accountability, and discipline in these areas. Praise God. Now, look at Exodus chapter 15. Glory to God. So they came out of the land of Egypt. They were excited. And they composed the song. They sang. Wow. When Moses and the children of Israel sang the song, and the children of Israel sang this song of the Lord, or to the Lord, and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name, Pharaoh's chariot, and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Hallelujah. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemies in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath, it consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap, and the depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I'll pursue, I'll overtake, and I'll divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword, my hand will destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Hallelujah. Who is like, O Lord? Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in loneliness? You know, we sing this song today. Who is like you? This is the background of that song. Hallelujah. When they witnessed such a mighty deliverance, who is like unto you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that's the same tune, no. Amen. But that's the lyrics. You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You in your mercy had led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength, in your holy habitation. They sang unto the Lord, they were glad. Fast forward to verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord. They just sang to the Lord. They just saw the parting of the Red Sea. They just witnessed such great and mighty acts in the land of Egypt. They came to a place where there was no water. They began to complain. It took a leader to keep their focus on God at such a time. Hallelujah. The same mouth that had praised God and blessed him and sang his praises. Praise God. The same mouth that had sung unto the Lord was the same mouth they were using to complain and grumbling. There was a leader in the picture that could say, see, there's no need. He cried to God. Hallelujah. And then something happened. Look at chapter 16. Do you know, fast forward to chapter 16, they preferred to die in Egypt, to die in the land of slavery, just because they wanted food. I mean, this guy should have been able to think, if God brought us out of the land of Egypt, then he must have a plan. No. They were not thinking at all. They were full of complaints, agitations, anger, wrath. Exodus 16. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Imagine that. The same lips that had sung unto the Lord, oh, who is like unto you, O God, among the gods, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises. It's better we are dead in Egypt, though. It's better God had killed us in Egypt when we sat by the pot of meat. Amen. Waki and die. Foodie. Because of food. It took a leader. Now, note that they were complaining against Moses and Aaron. This will be very useful very soon. And Moses was handling the problem in the pressures, in the challenges. How was Moses handling it? Every time he would turn to the Lord. Amen. He wouldn't break under the pressure of the people. He would turn to the Lord. That's a leader right there. Hallelujah. That's a leader right there. He would turn to the Lord and cry out to the Lord. And the Lord would say something. And then he would lead the people. He kept, you know, keeping their eyes on the main thing. Because the plan is to lead them from Egypt to Canaan. So all these, their complaints, see the importance of leadership. Left to the children of Israel, it means they will have gone back to Egypt. The only reason why they kept going and walking towards Canaan, which was God's plan, was because there was a leader. Hallelujah. And you see, if you look at leadership very well, leadership is the only agency that drives, you know, vision and drives the mission against all odds. Left to the followers, most times, people will turn their backs and go the other direction. Whenever it's not convenient, it will take a leader to enforce, you know, commitment. Let's keep moving against all odds. Praise God. Leaders. That's exactly what it means to be a leader. You take the lead and people follow. When men are seeing difficulties, you see a way out. When men are seeing challenges, problems, you see solutions. When men see a need to not go, you have a million reasons why they must keep moving. So each time they complain to Moses, see, Moses will turn to God, get direction from God, and they kept moving. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Exodus 17. The same thing, they complained again. They preferred to be in Egypt. Amazing, guys. Exodus 17, praise God. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin according to the commandment of the Lord and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. You know why they were always encountering these problems? Because they were moving. Amen. They were journeying. So they couldn't have dug wells. They were journeying. So they would always encounter these kind of challenges. But all they needed to do was to trust God. It took a leader to always keep their minds on the fact that, see, there's a God to be trusted. There's a God we can pray to. All they kept doing was to complain and to prefer that they were still in Egypt. They preferred being in bondage, dying in bondage, to being out there, free. Hallelujah. Because of the difficulties they were encountering. But it took a leader. It took a leader to continue to make sure that men kept moving. Amen. It took a leader to ensure that they kept moving and journeying towards the Canaan land. Hallelujah. Exodus 17. So, therefore the people contended with Moses, verse 2, and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people tested there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" It doesn't even make sense. This was somebody that rescued you from slavery. This was a man that delivered you from the hardship in Egypt. But then now you're accusing him of bringing you out to come and kill you and your livestock. Makes no sense. But like I said to you, Moses would every time turn to the Lord. Praise God. Bible says in verse 4, "So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me.' Consider how Moses is handling this pressure." And I said to you, it's going to be useful very soon. Now turn to chapter 32. Moses is handling the pressure well. The same people, wicked at heart, stiff-necked, stone-hearted, wicked, were capable of doing anything. They could stone him. But each time they cried, lamented, complained, and they were trying to put him under pressure, Moses would turn to God. That's a leader. Hallelujah. He wasn't going to do the bidding of the people. He was going to turn to God and continue to enforce God's will. Amen. But look at Exodus 32. Something changed. See the importance of leadership. Exodus 32. Hallelujah. And this is Aaron. Exodus 32 from verse 1. "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.'" Imagine the kind of suggestion. Amen. See what followers are capable of sometimes. "Let's go back to Egypt. Glory to God. Let's go back to Egypt." We've seen men who came out of religion. They came out of, falsehood, deception, and they began to preach Christ. They began to take a stand for the truth of the gospel. And then their members, people that came out of that, circle with them, were the same reasons why they had to go back. Amen. They had to start preaching the same things they had forsaken and abandoned. They began to listen to their followers. Amen. They came to meet Aaron. "As for this Moses, they acknowledged that it was Moses who brought them out of it. This man who brought us out, we don't know what has happened to him. Come and make us gods that will go before us." Amen. Now you realize that the God that you make is the God you are going to start making decisions for. So the idea of having a God go before them was just, for what? It was just a facade. Because in the real sense, you are going to be the ones dictating for that God. Hallelujah. And you know what? Aaron could not undo this pressure. At verse 2, "And Aaron said to them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me.'" Notice that there's no record that Aaron even resisted what they were saying. Aaron did not say, God. No. God forbid. God. Stop it. Aaron could not tell them, see, Moses, nothing has happened to him now. He went to speak to the Lord. He will be back. Moses, he'll be back. Nothing could have happened to him. He's a man of God. God's protection, God's hand is upon him. No resistance whatsoever. No defense of Moses. Just say, oh, bring the earrings in the ears of your wives and children, sons and daughters and all that, and bring it to me. I'll make you a god. See the failure of leadership. Amen. Aaron is the kind of pastor that will bend to the will of the people. Moses is the kind of pastor that continually enforces God's will and stays with God's plan in spite of the pressure of the people and the demands of the people. Praise God. Aaron could not undo pressure. Now imagine a vital lesson here. Imagine that sometimes you make a suggestion to a leader based on your own desire, and the leader also has an idea about what you are saying. I mean, how come Aaron was able to fashion a god? So the knowledge of how to create an idol and how to make gods for people was in his heart. Glory to God. And I say this to you confidently. Every pastor also has an idea what it is or what it is like to feed people with their own lust and their own desires, because those desires are common to us. Praise God. Pastor, doctrine, Christ and Him crucified, ministry. See, let's talk reality. Oh. See, that reality you're talking about, the pastor also knows about those things. He knows about those things. So if he wants to bend to your will, he will just come up with a syllabus. By the next service, you'll be shocked how creative and innovative your pastor can get. Hallelujah. So, a pastor that cannot resist pressure from the people. Aaron is that kind of pastor. He quickly bent to their will. Give me your hearings. Let me make a god for you. He had the knowledge of creating a god, an idol, and he molded it for them. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, all the people broke off the golden hearings, verse 3, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool. Imagine! And made a molded calf. It was even the one that determined the design. Something that impressed them. He made a calf. Hey, Pastor Aaron. Praise God. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." The same people that said, "As for this man Moses, who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has befallen of him." With the same mouth, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of Egypt." My God. Look at verse 5. This is so appalling. Verse 5. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Praise God. Hallelujah. How many pastors out there are celebrating the feast, holding the feast for God's people, based on the idol in their hearts? The idols were fashioned and created for them. Pastors who cannot insist on God's will. Pastors who dance to the tunes and the desires of men. And then you are holding a feast unto the Lord, in court. Praise God. A form of godliness. Hallelujah. A form of godliness. It is no longer about the will of God anymore. You are now doing the will of the people. Glory to God. A pastor that does ministry based on the desires of the people is not different from a man who has fashioned a god, an idol for the people to worship, separate from the living God. Hallelujah. And there are many of them like that. But I'm trying to show you in this teaching how that leadership is so key. You see that the people turned away from Moses and they turned to who? To Aaron. In fact, if Aaron had resisted them, they were going to find a leader in their midst. There will always be a need for leadership. Amen. There will always be a need. Glory to God. So the problem was that Aaron could not undo their pressure. He couldn't undo pressure and deal with the pressure and insist on God's will, God's plan, God's purpose. He's the kind of leader that wants to hear what the people have to say. Amen. Yeah, some pastors who say, in this church, we don't just do things, we don't just preach, you know, from what we think is right. We listen to what people want, we listen to what people are saying, we address. See, if you're talking about counseling, I know, you know, the way Paul received letters from people, they communicated to him the challenges they were having in the church, and if that's what you're talking about, fine. I'm talking about people who pick their doctrine from men. Amen. People who run the church based on the desires of the people. Glory to God. 6 hours prayer. We are praying this Saturday, 6 hours. And everybody says, ah. And the pastor says, ah, hey, what do we do now? Okay, 4 hours. People say, ah, 4 hours. Hey, don't you want to pray? Pastor, we want to pray, but, and then, you know, everybody's talking. Like, okay, 2 hours. And okay, 1 hour. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then he says, so Saturday, 1 hour prayer. Praise God. You're a disgrace. Such a leader is a disgrace. Glory to God. Who sent you? When you said 6 hours prayer, were you talking from your head or was that a leading by the Spirit of God? Amen. You know, because when it comes to administration and directing the church and, you know, picking programs and deciding what to do, for instance, for the pastor, the leader, we follow the leading of the Spirit. God leads us by Spirit. I've never sat down to brainstorm or to think of, you know, the meeting I want us to hold in church. No. It will never happen. So when I come and say, we're having 7 days word conference, there's nothing anybody is going to say that's going to change that, because I'm following a leading by the Spirit of God as a pastor. Praise God. As a pastor. So whether people say, oh, it makes no difference. Aaron could not withstand pressure. He bowed to the pressure of the people and he made for them, he fashioned for them a God after their own image. Hallelujah. Exodus 32. Look at from verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, one on one side and the other they were written, and on the other they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear." Hallelujah. Moses knew they were rejoicing and jubilating. This is not about war, guys. Hallelujah. Or Joshua, this is not about war. Verse 19, so it was as soon as he came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot and cast the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire and ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" That's a leader right there. One leader made the idol. Another leader came and broke it to pieces. Scattered the whole thing, grinded it, dismantled the whole thing. The same people, the difference now is the leader. Hallelujah. The same people that felt as though they were going to strangulate Aaron, they were going to kill him, they're going to stone him if he doesn't do anything, if he doesn't respond or yield to them. The same people, right before their eyes, another leader came and destroyed everything, broke it, and they could do nothing. Praise God. Leadership. Hallelujah. Look at verse 22. So Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, 'Make us gods that shall go before us.' As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And I said to them, "Whoever has any gold, let them break it off." So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Imagine, magic. I cast it in the, you just cast the, was that magic? You cast the earrings into the fire, the gold into the fire, and calf came out. Praise God. Agbari. Now, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. So you see, Bible says Aaron had not restrained the people. That was what Aaron was meant to do. They were wild. They were wild. They were pressurizing him. They wanted something that was contrary to the will of God. Notice this was after Exodus 20. They had been given instruction, "You shall make no other gods." And imagine an assistant of Moses being the very one making an idol for the people. What he was meant to do was to restrain them. No, he submitted to the will of the people. 2 Timothy chapter 4, as I close. 2 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when men will no longer endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they would heap up for themselves teachers, and will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Hallelujah. I charge you therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word in season and out of season. Hallelujah. Convince, that is, persuade from the word of God. Convince. Rebuke. You know, there's a time to rebuke men. When people say, Pastor, prayer, ministry. What? That's a time to rebuke them. Hallelujah. You don't say, okay, what do you want us to do? Yeah, tell me, what do you want us to do? And then when they tell you what they want, you now begin to implement it in the church. Praise God. That's a failure. A time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but you preach the word in season and out of season. That's a leader right there. He enforces God's will. Hallelujah. Make sure you are following a leader like this. Praise God. A leader like this who is unbending, who is dogged, who is dogmatic, steadfast, unmoving, unmovable, immovable. Glory to God. Who is so rigid in the will of God. Find a leader like this and follow. Praise God. A man that emphasizes the truth of the word of God and emphasizes the word of God and emphasizes ministry, emphasizes the Christian commitment to prayer, emphasizes the things emphasized in the New Testament and maintains a rigid position in the same. Glory to God. I know he's an extremist, but that is God's man. Praise God. Oh, he's an extremist, but that is God's man. The opposite and the alternative to this kind of man is a man like Aaron. And there are many pastors like Aaron who have been applauded in the body of Christ today. Church is not democratic in nature. It is theocratic. It is not government of the people, by the people, for the people. No. It is theocracy. And the pastor is meant to uphold and to enforce God's own will, standard, and value for his church. Glory to God. Look at your life today. You are a product of the leaders you are following. Look at your life today carefully. You are a product. You are mirroring leadership. You are a product, a reflection of the kind of leaders you have chosen to follow. Glory to God. Make sure you're following sound spiritual leadership. That's my counsel to you today. That's my admonition to you this morning. Make sure in choosing a local church, your first consideration is the leadership of that church. The leadership of that church. Because the moment leadership goes wrong, nothing else will go right. Glory to God. I'm going to continue from here tomorrow. Do good to tune in with your friends, family members, relatives, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time again in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of power, spiritual songs, full of the Holy Ghost. And be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.